Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, and the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones of the earth it hath raised up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, I want you to notice that they're talking to this fella after he's already dead. And they'll speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, thou that didst weaken the nations? Now we get into the one behind the king of Babylon. Amen. And we find it was Lucifer all the time. You know, there's a lot of preaching about the Antichrist, and he is coming. And he is going to have his heyday. And I preach about him too. But John said, even now, there are many antichrists. They're everywhere. Amen. Did you know that the Bible calls the devil the god of this world? He's running it. Yeah. He's running it. And he's even running the United States of America behind the scenes. Yeah. Amen. You know, you don't get very far in politics today until you've gone through the Babylonian rites and been initiated into the various orders. Huh? You don't get very far today. Amen. And so that tells us that the one behind the scenes that's really running things is the same one that was running Babylon way back yonder, Lucifer. Amen. And the king of Babylon, he was run by Lucifer. And Lucifer's also going to have his day in hell, if you please. Amen. Now, there are many proofs of the immortality of the soul. I just started with this scripture, you know. But Jesus gives us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died and he was buried. Excuse me, let me go back and phrase that a little bit different. Jesus gives us the story, because that's what everybody calls it, the parable. But it's a real story. And Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door and they'll make a big issue out of that. They'll turn to your marginal reading in your Bible and say, even your Bible calls it a parable. Well, my answer to that is, so what? If a parable doesn't reveal a real truth, it is not relative parable anyway. It does not relate to the situation anyhow. A parable demonstrates a real truth. But the story of the rich man and Lazarus, it gives a name to one of them. And it's probably a name to the other, religion, and the theologians call him Dives. Amen. The rich man and Lazarus. Well, whether his name's Dives or not, it demonstrates the fact if you die lost, you go unnamed into eternity for the most part. It's just like when you go to buy groceries and you're buying them and they're important. They got a name on them and a label. But after you cook them all up and eat what you want and throw it all together, you don't label it anymore. You just call it garbage and throw it out. Amen. I mean, you mix the postosties with the gravy, throw the leftover sausage and the pieces of biscuits all together, and you don't call it biscuits, gravy, and sausage and postosties no more. You just call it garbage. Amen. And that's a sermon in itself. But some years ago on a trip home, I caught a Seventh-day Adventist preacher preaching, and he in a very smooth way proved that immortality was unscriptural. But this old country boy's got too much common sense to listen to such foolishness as that. Amen. Why, did you know that those angels had something to carry when they carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom? Amen. That tells me that the soul is immortal. And did you know that that rich man could taste and feel and see and talk down there in hell? And he saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. They may call it a parable if they'll have a hard time getting it out of the Bible, because it's there. And if Paul had told it, they'd have said, oh, that's just Paul's idea. If Peter had told it, they'd say, that's just a Cephas idea. And if John had told it, they'd said, oh, that's just John's idea. But the one that told it was Jesus, the Son of God. Hallelujah. That makes a difference, folks, when Jesus tells it. Oh, it shouldn't make a difference, because the apostles preached what the Holy Spirit gave them and wrote down in the Bible what the Spirit gave them, and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's why they're considered part of the Holy Canaan, they call it, of Scripture. Amen. And so there are several proofs of the immortality of the soul. Amen. The Bible speaks of the hidden man of the heart in 1 Peter 3 and 4 as being incorruptible or immortal. Amen. Same Greek word. And so the hidden man is the one that's going to live on forever and ever somewhere. That hidden man. There is a hidden man. Now, while I'm looking at you, you can see me, can't you? But you can't see the one that's looking through these eyes. You can't see the one that's listening through these bungholes that we call ears. You can't see the one that has the power of the five senses really behind the scenes. And you can't see the one that has the real heart that the Bible talks about, that spiritual sense. Way down deep in the inner man, you can't see him, but he's there. And the Bible speaks of the hidden man of the heart. Praise God. I read to you in Isaiah 14 how that this king of Babylon, hell from beneath, is moved to meet thee. Not only are there a lot of people down there in hell that's curious about this newcomer, they see who he is, and they are moved to meet him. So there's somebody to meet when he gets down to hell, and there's somebody to meet him. Hell's going to meet him. The flames are going to meet him. Amen. And maybe even the inhabitants to a certain extent. Praise God. Jesus said in John 3:15-16 that he that believeth on him hath eternal life. John 6:54-58, John 17:2-3, he talks of eternal life. And so we know that all the righteous are immortal. They have eternal life. John 5 and 24 and John 6 and 40 says we're passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. We're no longer dead while we're walking around when we get saved. We've passed from that to life. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? John 6 and 51 says, he shall live forever. Amen. That means, brother, after this old body is laid in the ground, you'll still be living. Amen. John 10, 28 said, they shall never perish. If that's not immortality, I don't know what it is. Amen. Or they can pump this old body through full of embalming fluid and puff up your cheeks a little bit and stretch a smile on your face. And I've seen some funeral homes that kind of overdo it. They overstretch the smile and it looks plumb unnatural. Amen. I like the way the Brown Dawson funeral home, those around here, do it. They make them look like they're about to talk, just about to speak. Amen. They make you look pretty good. Amen. And but that's not the real man. Even though that one perishes and the worms destroy this body, the Bible says they shall never perish. The child of God on the inner man, he just go on and live. John 11 and 25 and 26 said they shall never die. Praise God. Matthew 10, 28, Luke 12 and 5 says, don't fear man that's able to kill the body, but fear him that's able to kill both soul and body, to destroy both soul and body in hell fire. Amen. And so man can't kill the soul, he can just kill the body. But God can, in effect, destroy the soul, even though he does not annihilate it. He casts it into hell. He casts it into destruction. And so he don't annihilate it. And that's where we differ with the worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong, Garner Ted Armstrong, and all their whiz kids. And that's where we differ with Jehovah's Witnesses. That's where we differ with the Seventh-day Adventists and numerous other splinter groups. Amen. That don't believe in the immortality of the soul. Really, the reason Rutherford and the Russellites lit upon the idea of annihilation was that he was scared to death of hell. Amen. Hey, if you get saved, you don't have to be afraid of hell. Amen. But if you're not saved and still practicing religion, you'll naturally be scared of hell. And you'll try to explain it away. And that's what they did. They tried to explain it away. Praise God. And Moses, he had been dead, and God buried him a couple thousand years probably. Amen. Several hundred years anyhow. Amen. And in Matthew 17:3, there he is on the mountain talking with Jesus. Immortal Moses. His body is still buried somewhere. Amen. But Moses is up there talking with the glorified Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration. And Elijah, he's up there talking to him too. Mark 9, 43 and 49, Jesus speaks of being cast into hell where their worm dieth not. Amen. There's a part about a man that don't die, and that's his soul. That's where all the memories are. Amen. That's where all the affections are. A lot of them. Amen. Their worm dieth not. And listen to this. Luke 16, I already talked to you about the rich man and Lazarus. Amen. And he said in hell he lifted up his eyes. Man, what a funeral he probably had. That son of Abraham, I mean, they probably could hire embalmers from Egypt with the Egyptian arts to embalm him and make him look so nice before they laid him away. Amen. But the Bible said in hell, his whole body laying in a rich man's tomb, but his eyes, the real man, lifts up his eyes in hell, being in torments. Think of that. Immortality is a terrifying thing, naturally, if you're lost, because nobody wants to go to hell and burn forever. Amen. I don't care what they make out of the fire of hell. Amen. It's not any place to have a picnic. Huh? Billy Graham has problems with the idea of hell. But jump on that like a dog on a bone if you want to, but you won't want to be having no picnic down there. Amen. We don't even like to have picnics when it's 110 degrees in the shade. Huh? Much less if somebody builds a fire, say, don't build a fire. Get something cold out of the deep freeze and cool off. Don't build a fire. It's too hot to be camping around, picnicking around, building a fire. Amen. But oh boy. Amen. Go lift up eyes in hell, being in torment, and that's a lot hotter than Texas, I want you to know. It's a lot harder than the equatorial climate of old earth. I mean, all live unto him, Luke 20, 37, 8. All live unto God. Amen. Paul said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's something in there somewhere that gets renewed for the Christian. Even though the outward man perishes. Amen. The things which are seen, that's the things which are not seen, the soul and the spirit, they are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 18. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. What did Stephen see when he was stoning that first martyr? He said, I saw Jesus. Amen. And, oh, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Praise God. And here he went to meet his Lord. All the saints bore him away and mourned his passing with a funeral, of course. But Stephen had already, amen, beat him out and already met his Lord. Praise God. Scarce had his body rolled out on the ground with the blood pouring from his ears and nose and mouth and his chest crushed with that last great stone. And his skull crushed and his face lacerated. Amen. But he was gone. Even when they stoned Paul in Lystra, praise God, he didn't know much about it. It seemed like it agrees with the time factor. He says there was a man caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. It was so real, I couldn't tell the difference between in the body and out of the body. And I saw things that are unspeakable, unlawful to be uttered. He was very much alive, even though the saints was gathering around him and praying for God to do a miracle for him. He was up there looking over his real estate. Amen. That's immortality, folks. Praise God. Paul said it's better to depart, that is, for the inner man to leave the body and be present with the Lord. Boy, is that immortality or is that immortality? Amen. Oh, ain't nobody has any problem with Christians having immortality. They know Christians have immortality. Amen. But the same everlasting that speaks of our eternal reward and everlasting life speaks also of everlasting punishment for the wicked. Same word. Amen. Even some Pentecostal fathers, if you could call them that, leaders in the mighty revival of my generation, got into that error of teaching, you know, that hell, the word everlasting, is a period of time having an end. You mean heaven's going to end sometime? No, heaven's not going to end. Neither is hell. Both words, both places use the same word, everlasting. Amen. And Paul said, whether we wake or sleep, that means whether we live or die, we'll be with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:10. And in Hebrews, in that classic chapter, he said, we're come to the spirits of just men made perfect. We don't have no problem with that. We believe we're going to meet on the other side. Trouble is, folks on the liberal side believe about everybody's going to heaven. They think we're going to meet Elvis over there. And a few more. I hope they did repent before they crossed over, but they didn't leave much of a testimony behind. That's very important. The Bible said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We just need a little bit of a testimony. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The souls of the dead live according to God in the Spirit. 1 Peter 4:6. Amen. 1 John 2:17 said, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 3:14 said, we know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. What's that life he's talking about? That's the inner man. Amen. Sinner still in death. He hadn't passed from death yet. But the Christian has passed from death unto life. What changed? His name is still L.L. Collins, Jr. Amen. But something changed. What did? Amen. That 14-year-old boy was still the same boy. But what changed? It wasn't the outside so much that changed. It was the inside. Amen. Got a new heart. Praise God. Amen. Well, glory to God. God has given us eternal life. Life in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And Psalms 22:26 says, your heart shall live forever. Amen. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of just shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And then Revelation 6:9-11, I saw under the altar the souls. They cried, saying, how long, O Lord? Amen. Those souls, those tribulation saints that had given their life for the gospel were crying, O Lord, how long? Amen. They was probably among that number that no man could number later on, waving their palms of victory. But he said, until your fellow servants are killed like you are. But the souls was praying. Souls was rejoicing or impatient under the altar because they didn't have full glory yet. Maybe they didn't have full glory, but they could see. They was very much alive. And they knew that something was in store for them because you know what he did to them souls? He gave them robes to wear. Well, if there's no soul, how could he wear a robe? Praise God. Amen. Yeah, you give them clothes to wear. Well, glory to God. I don't know whether there'll be piles of clothes left laying around or not when we go in the rapture. Amen. They may. But then they may not. When Jesus went up, he didn't leave no pile of clothes. When he was ascended up 40 days after his resurrection, he left some grave clothes in the grave. Amen. Well, that'll be all right if all we shed is our grave clothes. Amen. But the living in Christ are going to have clothes to wear. Hallelujah. In the translation, he's able to put clothes on you. He may not be no pile of clothes and a pair of shoes left laying someplace. He may just translate them both. Amen. I don't know. Hallelujah. But I know this much. There is immortality taught in the Bible to both the saved and the unsaved. Amen. There wouldn't be much teeth in the doctrine of hell if the lost souls of men were not immortal. If you died like a dog and all there was to it, well, that's how these churches gain members. They prey on the fears of men and their sins that they're going to go to hell, and really what they want to do is keep on sinning and go to heaven anyhow. Amen. But there's a little sneaking suspicion that they might not go to heaven. And so since there's that sneaking suspicion that you're not really regenerated and born again, that you might not go to heaven, they don't want to hear anything about this doctrine of the immortality of the soul. Now, you don't think it's necessary here tonight in this service, because to us it's just common sense to know that I'll live on and that the sinner's going to live on somewhere. But the trouble common sense and horse sense is, one person called it horse sense, and he said the trouble with horse sense, the only ones that's got it is horses nowadays. Nowadays folks want something else other than the real thing. But I like to have the real thing, wouldn't you? I like to have the real power of God. And they said that Calvin had strokes of insanity. I heard that this week, that Calvin himself admitted that he had streaks of insanity. Well, I have long known that the doctrine of once in grace, always in grace, and unconditional election, and what is to be will be, I've long known that was insanity. It is a form of insanity. And now it comes out in these last days that Calvin, the very progenitor of it, the one that fostered it and set it forth, at least a new brand of Augustinism anyhow, amen, that he had streaks of insanity. Well, everything false is insane. Amen. What is insanity? Insanity is avoiding the truth. Insanity is avoiding the issue. Insanity is avoiding the reality. It is an escape from pressure. Willful or unwillful, that's what insanity is. Amen. And this insanity in the church is a willful form of insanity that escapes the verities and realities of eternal retribution. And they gain members that way. And they never lose any members that way. Because once you get it, the new Calvinism says, you can't never lose it. Baloney. Amen. If Lucifer was in heaven, and that's in that same chapter I read to you in Isaiah, if Lucifer was already in heaven and fell out, we haven't made it yet. If Lucifer was an angel and fell out of heaven, we've not made it there yet. If Adam and Eve was in paradise and fell out of it, we haven't got quite back there yet. Amen. And we need to make our calling and election sure. Can you say amen? Let's gather around and pray for the service tonight. Praise God.